The older we get, the more we forget. It's nothing for us to have something set in place that we need to do, and we try to set our reminders for it. And then we either wake up or come to the realization that we missed it. With many of us, that could be in the form of a doctor's appointment. Something that's necessary, important. We've been thinking about it. And then we forget. Maybe it's a meeting with a friend. Or maybe a work colleague. How many times have you had lunch set up? And then your phone rings. Or a text goes off. Saying, I'm here. And you've got to scatter because you're still 10 minutes away. So we say, on our way. The birth of Jesus Christ was no accident. It should have been no surprise. And yet, we will look at a couple individuals today that in essence missed that first Christmas. We're going to look at three different reactions from three different people or people groups to the birth of Jesus Christ. And we're going to find those in Matthew chapter 2 this morning as we look at verses 1 through 12. So open up with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, where we will read the first 12 verses, something that should be pretty familiar to all of us. But it's generally not the go-to Christmas passage. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, magi, or wise men from the east, arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For this is what has been written by the prophet: And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time and the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me, so that I may too come and worship him." And after hearing the king, they went their way. And the star which they'd seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Let's pray. Father, as we've read these words this morning, we believe with everything within us that these are the treasured words of the living God. And Father, within the pages of your book, we have power. So Father, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit may use this passage to equip us, to teach us, possibly even redeem us this morning, to know more about you and who you are. We commit this time to you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, there was a ruler. He had an unusual name. A name that really was not commonplace. We don't hear it today. His name was Herod. And Herod was kind of unique in his position within the world. For you see, the land of Israel was occupied by Rome. Israel, God's people, God's country, was in the hands of the Romans. And through the many years of the Roman occupation, there was much resistance by Israel. You only need to do some research into the Maccabean era to see how much the Jewish people hated this domination by Rome. But then, a decade or two before the turn from BC to AD, a man came on the scene called Herod. He was put in charge of Israel, over Jerusalem, by the Romans. You see, Herod had some Jewish blood to him. He considered himself one of the Jews, while at the same time being very loyal to Rome. And Herod did something that no other ruler of his day, before and even after, was really able to do. And that was to bring a certain amount of peace to Israel. Herod did such a good job in this that he actually renamed his position from governor to king, seeing himself as being second only to Caesar. Herod, for the most part, was a ruthless leader. He governed with an iron fist, while at the same time being very generous to the people. You could almost say Herod was willing to give the people enough rope to hang themselves. And in this, he gained the favor of the majority of the people. Herod, being from a Jewish background, understood somewhat the things of the Old Testament. But Herod this morning we see as a picture of a true non-believer of God. So here's Herod sitting on his throne one day, and he gets news that these dignitaries, these magi, these kings from the east have passed through. And they're asking, where is he who is born King of the Jews? Now, if Herod was one thing, he was very jealous. Jealous of his position, jealous of his power. And when the question was asked, where is he who is born the King of the Jews? Herod's first thought must have been, I'm right here. But he quickly realized that he was not who the Magi were asking for. For you see, they have come all the way from the east, following a star that had been placed in the heavens. The Magi had come to worship the king. The last thing Herod wanted was somebody taking his power, taking his position, taking his prestige, taking his money. And in Herod's mind, he already had the line of succession for the kingdom of Israel in place. He had sons and nephews and family to be that. So Herod is a picture of someone who's resistant to who Jesus Christ was and is. Herod is not somebody who went into this whole procedure with an open mind. He didn't go into it with an open heart. As a matter of fact, reading further into Matthew, starting at verse 16, we see where he had a mass murder of all sons that were born in a 2-year period, trying to get rid of this threat to his kingdom. There was no seeking out facts. There was no contemplating that maybe this was truly the Messiah. Herod was resting in his own accomplishments. He was resting in what he could do. And Herod missed that very first Christmas. Well, then in verse 4, we see another group of people. Bible tells us, gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he, Herod, inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Again, he did not do this. He didn't bring these people in with an open mind as to who Jesus was. He brought these people in so he could get rid of the threat. And he brings in the chief priests and the scribes of the people. And this is our second group that we're going to look at this morning. These who knew the truth and rejected the truth. For you see, the scribes and the chief priests and the religious leaders of Israel, they knew their stuff. It wasn't the fact that they were ignorant to Scripture. These guys studied Scripture for their job. That was what they did. And diligent is just the tip of the iceberg of describing how much they studied. So when Herod calls them together and he asks them, where is this Messiah, where is this king to be born? They say to him, verse 5, in Bethlehem of Judea. For this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. They knew exactly where to go. I mean, when we have religious disagreements sometimes, I mean, one of the phrases that we use, maybe in Sunday school when we're butting heads, or out on the street when we meet somebody, and somebody says, blah. And we may look at them and say, chapter and verse, please. The chief priests and scribes had chapter and verse down to where they should have known that Jesus was the Messiah. They had all the knowledge. They had all the practice. They had all the determination. But yet they too missed that first Christmas. You see, they were so busy in their work of religion. They were so busy in what they had to do that they failed to realize it's not what they did, but rather what God would do for them. Of all people, they should have been the ones to welcome the King. We think of the Christmas displays, the manger with the wise men, with the shepherds, with all the animals kneeling before the baby Jesus. You know who's missing that should be there? The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests. They should have been there to welcome the king. Instead, they became a thorn in the king's side his entire life and eventually put him to death to try to get rid of him. So we have Herod, who played the part of the resistance. We have the chief priests and scribes who knew the truth but rejected. And then we find this little group of strangers. I mean, when you think about it, these kings, these magi, these wise men probably really shouldn't have had any knowledge of who the Messiah was. I mean, they were from way over there. Yet in the providence of God, in their studies, one of the things they learned was of this child who should be king. And how did they react? They come to the king in worship. They come to the king in homage. They come to the king rejoicing with great joy. The world today is filled with Herods. People who want to resist. People who enjoy being in charge of their own life. People who don't want to give control or authority over to the God of this universe. Churches today are filled with those likened to chief priests and the scribes. They're filled with people who have knowledge. Oh, they know who Christ is. They know what he's done. But yet, they're missing that life inside of them. And I can't question somebody's motivation. I don't know what it is within some people. But I know with the chief priests and the scribes, they too enjoyed the power. They too enjoyed the final say. I'm sure they relished being called before Herod and answering these theological questions, making themselves look to be very wise. But believing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Biblical knowledge never got anyone to heaven. Knowing the facts and figures never got anyone eternal life. Knowing the Christ child, that is where salvation comes from. I hope, and my prayer is today, that there are no Herods amongst us. That those listening to this by way of the internet, you're not happy in your own self-sufficiency. That your realization that you are everything, that's going to be what damns you forever. The world is full of King Herods. The world and our churches, our religious institutions, they are filled with people much like the chief priests and the scribes, putting their faith in an act that they did. Maybe even a good act. Maybe they walked an aisle. Maybe they said a prayer. But they're resting in their knowledge. They're resting in what they do. And they're not resting in the finished work of the Savior. See, these magi, they came to worship a baby. They came to pay tribute to a child. A child that would one day be murdered for them. A child that would be murdered for us. And we put a lot of emphasis on the death of Jesus Christ. It's important that it happened. We put a lot of emphasis on the pain and suffering that he went through. An innocent baby born on the first Christmas to be nailed to a tree and die. And I'm sure at Easter time you'll hear many messages on how cruel death on a cross was. How painful what Jesus went through was. How none of us would want to go through that, but he did it for us. That physical death was minuscule. Jesus' physical death, for the matter of our eternity, held nothing compared to him taking upon himself the wrath of God. You see, his crucifixion, with that he got the wrath of man. And man can be cruel. But during that same time, he was receiving the wrath of God. And we fear physical death as humans. We fear what may happen to us. We have whole television shows such as Criminal Minds and things like that that lead us into places in our minds that scare us to death. But how we die physically compares nothing to an eternity receiving God's wrath. That is what Jesus did for us. He took upon himself God's wrath. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Do we realize what those words mean? There was no guilt in Christ whatsoever. In all of his humanness, he stood before God perfect, unblemished, with no sin. Yet, he took upon himself the punishment of my sin. He took upon himself the punishment for your sin. Herod missed out that first Christmas. The scribes and the Pharisees, they missed out that first Christmas. The Magi, the shepherds, they came with the proper attitude. They came with the proper focus. It wasn't in them, but it was in Christ. I hope everyone in this room today has your eternal affairs in order. I hope we're not relying on what we can do. I hope we're not relying on what we know. I hope we're relying on Him and Him alone. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time that we could spend. Lord, as we're thinking always right now about Christmas, Father, may our thoughts be as the Magi. Lord, not thinking about what we're going to get or what we're going to give or what we're going to, how people are going to react to us or how high we can be lifted up. But Father, may our thoughts be on the Christ child, He who died for us so that we might live. I pray that you'll be with our outreach tonight. Lord, I pray that you would give Ryan power as he presents the gospel. Father, may you receive honor and glory through the workings of your church. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.